The previous mission described how the coals which were taken from the Mizbeach which stood in the courtyard were placed on the Mizbeach which stood inside the Heichal, the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, and spread out on top of that Mizbeach, ready for the Kohen who was selected to perform the service of the Ketores, to place the Ketores on the coals. The Ketores was the incense, a mixture of spices which produced a very strong aroma. And as the incense was placed on the coals, smoke would come up. And this mission describes the actual process of placing those spices, that incense, on top of the coals. Mishazocha Bakhtoras, the Kohen who received the honor of performing the service of burning the Ketores, her noitel es habozich mtoich hakaf, he would take the spoon which contained the incense out of the larger spoon in which it was placed. We learnt earlier on that the incense was placed sort of piled up and overflowing slightly on top of the spoon. And that's why it was placed inside a giant spoon as well, so that it would overflow into the giant spoon and they wouldn't lose any of the incense. Now, the way that the Kohen would place the incense on the Mizbeach is with his hands, not with the spoon. And so at this point, he would give it to his friend or his relative. We're going to understand that to mean that he would give the giant spoon to any Kohen of his choice, so it would usually be his friend or his relative. He would be able to choose which Kohen he wanted to assist him in this job. He would give him the giant spoon, and he would hold on to the spoon which actually contains the Ketores. And this friend of his who had taken the giant spoon would place it on the floor next to him, and then he would take the spoon full of Ketores from the Kohen, who's going to perform the service of the Ketores, and the Kohen who's going to perform the actual service of the Ketores puts out his two hands together, ready to receive the Ketores in a handful, in a double handful, and then he would walk towards the Mizbeach, holding onto the Ketores with both of his hands. Now the Mishnah says that if part of the Ketores had overflowed and spread into the giant spoon, then his friend would pick up the giant spoon again after having placed the Ketores itself into the hands of the Kohen, and he would pour any Ketores which had spilled into the giant spoon, he would pour that into the hands of the Kohen as well, to make sure that he has all of the incense and he doesn't miss any of it. And then other Kohanim, so to speak, teach him. They advise the Kohen, who would never have performed the Ketores service before, Hevizoher, be careful, shema taschil lefonecha. Make sure not to start placing the incense on the coals which are closest to you, shalei kove, so that you don't burn yourself. Because there was a requirement to perform the service and to empty out the incense onto the coals slowly. Now, if he would start emptying them out on the coals which were nearest to him, and then start going further away, he would burn himself from the smoke which is rising. And then he might end up just rushing the service, so he wouldn't fulfill the requirement of fulfilling it slowly. And therefore they advise him to rather start pouring the incense, the Ketores, out onto the coals which are furthest away from him, and then to bring it nearer to him to spread out the later parts of the incense on the coals which are nearest to him, and that way he won't burn himself and he'll still be able to perform the service slowly. He began to spread out the Ketores on the coals which are further away from him, and then he would withdraw his hands from being further away from him, and his hands would become now nearer to his body as he spread the incense on the coals which were nearer to him at the later stage of pouring the incense onto the coals. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Maktir, the one who was burning the Ketores, the incense on the coals, he would not do so, until the Kohen who was appointed to arrange all of the services would tell him that you should burn the incense, you should pour them onto the coals. And the Mishnah tells us, by the way, if it was the Kohen Gadol who was performing this service, because the Kohen Gadol had the right to perform any service which he wanted to, even if it wasn't part of the lottery, if he wanted to perform the service of the Ketores, he would do so. So on a day that the Kohen Gadol decided to do so, Hamamune Omer, the Kohen who was appointed to tell him to do so, He would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master the Kohen Gadol, Hakter, burn the Ketores. He would address him in that respectful manner. And the reason why he could only start this service once this Kohen told him that he was able to, is because it's learned from Pesukim that nobody is allowed to be situated in the entire Heichal or Ulam, which is the area just in front of the Heichal, in between the two sides of the wall of the Heichal, and not even in the area of the courtyard, in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach in the courtyard. All of those areas, nobody is allowed to be situated there at the time that the Ketores service is performed. And therefore this Kohen can only start doing so once he knows that nobody is there. So Perishu Ha'am, all of the people there would distance themselves, and then the Memuneh, this appointed Kohen, would make the announcement. He would tell him, you can now perform the service, for Hikter. So he would pour the incense onto the coals, he would burn them, the Hishtachva, he would bow down fully in the Heichal, the Yotzah, and then he would leave after having completed his service of burning the Ketores. Perizayim Mishta Aleph. After the service of the Ketores was performed, burning the incense on the coals on the Mizbeach inside the Heichal, inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there was now a big opportunity for any Kohen who was serving the Beis HaMikdash that week to enter into the Heichal and bow down fully. This was an exception to the general rule that nobody is able to enter the building of the Beis HaMikdash unless they are performing a service. At this point, those Kohanim would be able to enter in the Heichal and bow down. Now, the Kohen Gadol was supposed to go into the Heichal now and bow down as well, and he would, of course, enter first. At the time that the Kohen Gadol would enter into the Heichal to bow down, there would be three other Kohanim holding on to him as a great sign of respect towards the Kohen Gadol. One would hold on to him from the right, one would hold on to him from the left, and one would hold on to the two precious stones which were placed on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, on top of the straps of the ephod. The ephod was an apron-like item of clothing which the Kohen Gadol had to wear, and there were straps which went over the shoulders, and on those straps were two precious stones, one on each side, one on each shoulder, and the third Kohen would hold on to those stones, and this would give a great level of respect towards the Kohen Gadol. Now, when the Kohen Gadol would bow down in the Heichal, he would do so by himself. Nobody else would see, and therefore the curtain, which was at the entrance to the Heichal, at the entrance to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, where he was bowing down, would be closed. And only the Kohen Gadol would be there privately, so to speak, with Hashem, bowing down. The Kevan Sheshoma HaMemuneh Kol Raglov Shel Kohen Gadol Shu Yotzei, when the Memuneh, who was the Kohen appointed to arrange everything going on in the Beis HaMikdash, when he would hear the feet of the Kohen Gadol coming towards him to leave the Heichal, the way he would hear this, even though the Kohen Gadol was barefoot, is because there were small golden bells at the bottom of the cloak which the Kohen Gadol wore, which would make a noise when he was approaching. So at that point, he would know that the Kohen Gadol had finished bowing down. The Memuneh, this appointed Kohen Gadol who was arranging the daily procedure, so he would lift up the pareches, he would lift up the curtain, and then Nichnas, he himself, the appointed Kohen who was arranging things, he would enter into the Kohen Gadol, v'hishtachava, and fully bow down, v'yotzah, and he would leave the Heichal, after which, v'nichnasu echava Kohanim, all of his other fellow Kohanim would enter into the Heichal, v'hishtachavu, they would fully bow down, v'yotzu, and then they would leave the Heichal, they would leave the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and return to the courtyard. Mishnah Beis, bov omda male sa'ulam. The Kohanim, when they left the Heichal, they actually didn't go all the way back to the courtyard, but they stood on the steps which led from the courtyard towards the Ulam, the area directly in front of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, in front of those doors. So Bov Omdal Malas Ulam, they stood on the steps leading up to the Ulam from the courtyard, and Omdu Harishonim, the first Kohanim, stood Lidroi Machem HaKohanim, to the south, the direction of southward of the rest of the Kohanim, which means that they would be standing to the right of the rest of the Kohanim. One who stands on the right is considered to be standing in the more significant, important position. And when we refer to the first Kohanim, we're talking about the five Kohanim who had performed a service in the Heichal, as we've been describing the past few Parakim. V'chamisha kelim b'yodom, and there were 5 utensils which they were holding in their hands. They would hold the utensil which they had used as part of their service in order to signify that they had been part of that day's actual service. Hateni b'yadechod, the basket which had contained the ashes from the inner mizbeach, that would be in the hands of one of the kohanim, obviously the kohen who had cleaned the mizbeach. V'akuz b'yadechod, the jug which had been full of ashes from the menorah, was in the hands of one of the kohanim, the one who had cleaned the menorah. V'hamachto b'yadechod, and the shovel was in the hands of one of the kohanim, that's the one who had taken the coals from the mizbeach which stood in the courtyard and transferred them to the mizbeach which stood in the heichal in order for burning the ketores. Fourthly, the habozich b'yadechad, the spoon which had contained the ketores, the incense, was in the hands of one of them. This refers to the kohen who had performed the service of the ketores. He had poured the incense on top of the coals. The kaf, the kisuya b'yadechad, and the giant spoon, as well as the cover of the smaller spoon which contained the ketores itself, that would be in the hands of one of the kohanim, namely the kohen who had assisted the kohen who was performing the service of the ketores by taking the spoons from him and pouring the incense into his hands. So he would be, since he was part of that procedure, he would also be given the honor of standing in that more prominent position and holding onto that utensil. So we have all of the kohanim standing on the steps going leading up to the ulam, and what would be done now? Birkas kohanim, the special unique blessing which the kohanim would give to all of the people who are in the Beis HaMikdash. And when they were actually beginning to make the bracha, then the 5 kohanim who were holding these utensils would put them down, because their hands were needed as they made the Birkas kohanim. They would spread their hands out towards the rest of the people as they blessed them. And the Mishnah says, "Uberchu esa'om," they blessed the people, bracha achas, with one bracha. And the Mishnah notes, "Ela sheba medina," in the rest of the areas outside of the Beis HaMikdash, "Omrim oisa shalish brachos," they would say Birkas Kohanim as 3 separate blessings. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, that's one. And after they would say the first blessing, everybody would answer Amen. And so on. There would be 3 separate brachas. However, over Mikdash and the Beis HaMikdash, since the law is that one does not answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would only say it as bracha achas, they would say it as one continuous bracha, one continuous blessing without an interruption of Amen in between each one. So indeed it is 3 separate pesukim, 3 separate verses from the Torah, but they would be said continuously as if it was just one bracha. Another difference between the way that the Birkas Kohanim, this blessing of the Kohanim, was said in the Beis HaMikdash to other locations, is that B'Mikdash in the Beis HaMikdash, es Hashem kechasovai, they would say Hashem's name, they would pronounce it in the way that it is written, the name of Hashem that is Yud Kei Vav Kei, they would read it in the way that it is written. U'Vamadina, however, in any other location outside of the Beis HaMikdash, B'Chinuyoi, they're only able to pronounce it in a different way, the way we pronounce it, Adoi and then Noi, because the holiness of the real pronunciation of the way that it is written is too great to be stated outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And a third difference is that B'Medina HaKohanim Nosin Es Kapeihem, in all other locations outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would raise their hands, or the palms of their hands, Yideihem Kneged Kisfeihem, such that their hands are in line with their shoulders. It's learned from Pesukim that the blessing of the Kohanim has to be said whilst the Kohen is raising his hands. U'Vamikdash, whereas in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to raise their hands al gabi roshehen, so that it would be higher than their heads. Since they are pronouncing Hashem's name in the way that it is written, Hashem's presence is, so to speak, resting upon the fingers and the hands of the Kohanim, and it's certainly considered to be disrespectful if that is in line with their own heads. So therefore they have to raise their hands higher up, so that Hashem's presence will be, so to speak, concentrated there above their heads. Chutz mekohen gadol, except for the kohen gadol, when he gave the blessing of the kohanim, she'enu magbia as yodav d'malam natzitz, he couldn't raise his hands higher up than the tzitz, which was a band which he wore on his forehead, a golden band which had Hashem's name on it. So to raise his hands above that would appear to be a sign of disrespect, and therefore he would not raise his hands higher than his forehead. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda says, af kohen gadol magbia as yodav d'malam natzitz, even the Kohen Gadol would be able to raise his hands higher up than the golden band which he wore on his forehead. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayisa Aaron es yodav el ha'om vayivarechem. Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, of course, raised his hands towards the people and he blessed them. And the simple implication of the pasuk is that he's raised his hands high up, even above his head. Mishnah Gimel, the final part of the daily procedure, other than, of course, a repetition of bringing the carbon tomid in the afternoon, would be transporting the limbs of the carbon tomid, the sacrifice which is brought daily, from the ramp of the Mizbeach onto the top of the Mizbeach and onto the fire. And together with that, pouring wine onto the Mizbeach, which would accompany the carbon, as the Mishnah will go on to describe. Interestingly, because the Mishnah began to discuss differences between a regular Kohen and a Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah describes the way that this part of the procedure was performed when the Kohen Gadol would do so. Bizman she Kohen Gadol roitz l'haktir, at a time that a Kohen Gadol wanted to place the limbs of the Karban Tomid onto the fire, haya oyle bakevesh, he would walk up on the ramp, v'hasagan b'minoy, and the deputy Kohen Gadol would stand to the right of the Kohen Gadol. Higia l'machtes hakevesh, when he reached halfway up the ramp, ochazaka askan b'minoy, v'he'elohu, the deputy Kohen Gadol held on to the right arm of the Kohen Gadol in order to help him to walk up the second half of the ramp. Now, lotteries had been cast to decide who would merit to do this part of the procedure of bringing the limbs and burning them on the fire. Now, the Kohen Gadol was able to override this lottery, and he would be the one to place the limbs on the fire. However, those who had been chosen would still take part, and the first Kohen who had been selected to perform this part of the procedure would stretch out his hand, holding on to the head of the animal and the back right leg, and the Kohen Gadol v'somach aleihem, he would lean on them, although in general the process of smicha, of leaning on a carbon, is only performed when the animal is still alive, and even then only on certain carbonis. The Kohen Gadol, in order to emphasize the different position and significance of the Kohen Gadol, he would lean on the limbs, assumingly whilst the other Kohen is still holding onto it, and then he would take the limbs, uzrakon, and throw it onto the fire on the Mizbeach. Hoshid Hasheni l'Rishayin, the second Kohen who merited to be part of this procedure, would stretch out his hand to give the following limbs to the first Kohen, Shtei Ayodayim, the two front legs of the animal, he would give over to the first Kohen, and the first Kohen, Nosel Kohen Gadol, would give it over to the Kohen Gadol, who once again, V'samach Aleihen, would lean on those limbs, and then he would take them, uzrakon, and throw them onto the fire. Nishmat Hasheni v'Holachloi, the second Kohen, would then quietly slip away, and he would leave that area. And then the third Kohen would take the limbs that he needs to transfer. He would put those into the hands of the first Kohen, and the first Kohen would give it to the Kohen Gadol. That's how they would stretch out their hands and give over the rest of the limbs of the animal, and the Kohen Gadol would lean on them, the zarkon, and throw them onto the fire of the Mizbeach. It was Manchu Reitzer, and at a time that the Kohen Gadol decides that he wants to do only part of the procedure, then who soimech? If he wants to, he can just lean on the limbs and not even throw them. V'achem zarkem, the other Kohanim who had been selected for this procedure, in that case where the Kohen Gadol didn't want to, they would be the ones to throw the limbs onto the fire of the Mizbeach. Now, once the limbs were burning on the fire of the Mizbeach, it reached the time to pour the wine on the corner of the Mizbeach. The Yayin Nesach, this was the wine which accompanied the offering of the Karban Tomid. And in general, if a regular Kohen would perform this job, the one who was selected by the lottery to do so, he would walk up the ramp of the Mizbeach, take a left turn, and go to the nearest corner of the Mizbeach. He would walk. Remember, the top of the Mizbeach was quite a large area. He would walk on the edge of the Mizbeach towards the nearest corner on the left. That's where the wine had to be poured. And although in general there is a rule that one should always turn to the right instead of the left, so in truth he really should have had to go all the way around the Mizbeach, he should have turned right and walked around the edge of the Mizbeach until he reaches the corner, which would be sort of the last corner. However, there is a concern that the wine will get smoky from the smoke of the fire of the Mizbeach, and therefore it's preferable that he just takes a simple left turn and quickly pours the wine down the hole which is there on the corner of the Mizbeach. Now, the Kohen Gadol, in order to signify his difference and his more significant position, He would indeed make a right turn and walk all the way around the Mizbeach until he reached that last corner, and then he would pour the wine. Because of this, however, he would not carry the wine as he walked around. Rather, he would walk around the Mizbeach until he reached the corner, and once he reached the corner, then they would hand the wine to him, and that way it wouldn't become smoky at all. So Bolo l'hakvis ha-Mizbeach, he came to surround the edges of the Mizbeach, mehechon u'maschil. From where would he begin? Mekeren dremes mizrachis, from the southwest corner, from the southeast corner, which is immediately to his right when he reaches the top of the Mizbeach from the ramp. And then he would walk anti-clockwise. He would then reach the Mizrachis Tefonis, the northeast corner, and then Tefonis Ma'arovis, the northwest corner, and finally Ma'arovis Teremis, the southwest corner, and that's where Noson Lo Yain L'Naseich, they gave him the wine for him to pour. And the person who would give him the wine is the one who was selected originally to perform the procedure of pouring the wine. Hasgan Omid al HaKeren, the deputy Kohen Gadol, would stand on the corner of the Mizbeach. Right on the corner, the Mizbeach was slightly raised. So on that raised part of the Mizbeach, he would stand. Vasudorim b'yodai, he had flags in his hand. Ushnei kohanim oinim al shulchan achalovim. There were two kohanim standing on the table where they would place the fats and the parts of the Mizbeach which would be burnt on the parts of the of any korum which would be burnt on the Mizbeach. They would usually put those parts on the table before transferring them to the Mizbeach itself. We're talking about even other korbanos, not necessarily the korban tomid. That was its general purpose. But as it may, right now, there were two kohanim standing on top of that table. Ushtechat Tzitzrishal Kesef Yodom. They were holding onto two silver trumpets. And Toku Eirivasoku, they would make three sounds with the trumpets. A tekiah sound, which is one continuous sound, a teruah sound, which is lots of shorter sounds, shorter blasts, and then a tekiah again, which is one continuous blast. Bov omdu etzel ben Arzar. After they blew the trumpets, they would stand next to ben Arzar, who was the person who was appointed to sound the cymbals, which was the sign for the Levim to start singing. Echad miminav echad mismoilei, one of the kohanim would stand on the right of ben Arzar, one of them would stand to the left of ben Arzar. At this point, Shochar, the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen, whoever was performing the pouring of the wine on the Mizbeach, he would bend down to begin to pour the wine on the Mizbeach, Lenaseich, to pour the wine, the Heinef Haskan Basudorim, and at that point, a second before he would begin pouring the wine, the deputy Kohen Gadol, who was standing on the corner of the Mizbeach, would wave the flags, and that was a signal that Vehikish ben Arza Batzilzol for ben Arza to hit the cymbals together, and that was a signal for the Levim to begin singing V'dibru HaLevim Bashir, and the Levim began to sing. And whatever song they sang, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah, it was split into three parts, three stanzas. Higiu LaPerek, when they reached the end of a particular stanza, a particular part of the song, then Toku, those two kohanim would make blasts with the trumpets again, at which point Veishtachavu Ha'am, all of the people who were standing in the courtyard, would bow down fully. And this would be repeated, Al Kol Perek, whenever they reached the end of a stanza, Tekiah, there would be the blasts of the trumpet. And Al Kol Tekiah, whenever the blasts of the trumpet were sounded, Hishtachavoya, everybody would bow down. Concludes the Mishnah, Zehu Seder Atomid La'avodas Veis Elokeinu, this was the order and the procedure of bringing the Korban Tomid, as well as everything else that went on daily as part of the service in the house of our God Hashem. Yirotzoin sheyibonei b'mehirov yomeinu amein. May it be Hashem's will that the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt speedily in our days. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Amen.